Ticklish business any way you look at it. Come on, we'll stick together.
Everyone, and welcome back to Ticklish Business. We have a special episode for everybody today. I'm Kristen Lopez, and I'm joined by two of our longtime Ticklish Business guests, co-hosts, what have you. I am joined by Samantha Richardson, former Ticklish Business co-host. Samantha, it's always great to have you back.
So happy to be here again. Excited to talk TCM.
And then we also have, she's been on several of our episodes already, usually talking about Ava Gardner. It's Laura Stalker. Laura, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. So glad to join you both to talk fest.
Yes, that's right. We are doing this fun little bonus episode, sharing some of our picks for this year's TCM Classic Film Festival. Ironically, I am the only one of the group that is going. You guys will be there in spirit, but I think it's going to be a good conversation to look at some of the things you guys would have gone to, as well as just talk about the festival in general. But before we get to that, we'd like to briefly remind everyone, if you haven't checked out our Patreon at patreon.com/ticklishbiz, you should. We do additional bonus shows, including doubled features, looking at remakes, based on a true podcast, looking at biopics and true crime, as well as But Have You Read the Series, looking at classic film literary adaptations. We also give out care packages of movies and gifts and let you guest on an episode. We also are inching closer to our 50th patron, and we have a pretty cool prize pack that I'm working on right now that's going to include some TCM branded merch, some books, maybe a signed copy of my book. I don't know. All sorts of things. I'm going to keep adding to it as I get stuff. But if you would like to try to win that prize pack, just help us get to 50 patrons. It's at patreon.com/ticklishbiz. And don't forget that Emily and I are both authors. Samantha is hopefully going to be a soon-to-be author, which I'm really excited about. But you can order my book as well as Emily's book wherever you get books. And our Redbubble store always has some great art designed by Samantha Richardson herself, as well as Terrence Hilt, including our popular Makoko mugs. And if you are at the TCM Classic Film Festival this year, I will have Makoko buttons and stickers to give away to everybody. I know. I have to take a picture of them. They're very, very cute. I was happy with how they came out. That's all at ticklishbiz.redbubble.com. So let's talk about the festival. This festival is really interesting because it's the first fest after all of the stuff about TCM came out when they laid off Charlie Tabish and Genevieve McGillicuddy, who was the festival organizer. And we went through that really frightening time where we all thought TCM was going to disappear forever. I know that I've talked to a couple people who have looked at this festival lineup, and there's been some back and forth about whether they feel this festival is showcasing a renewed interest from Warner Brothers Discovery, otherwise known as Corporate Daddy, or not. I'm curious, I mean, both of you I know won't be there physically, but how are you just looking at the festival in the wake of what happened last year?
You know, I think that's a really interesting point. The other kind of big thing that's looming is the 30th anniversary of TCM. And what's neat to see in the both in how the network has been talking about that anniversary and how the fest seems to reflect the history of the channel is that a lot of folks that worked with the channel are reappearing. And I'm glad to see that celebration and that those continued relationships, even though some people may have left from downsizing or other kind of market entertainment industry volatility that's happened over the last decade or two. It's nice to see TCM to kind of be able to bring some of those faces back that a lot of us know who have been involved with the channel, either working for them or attending events. So I'm glad to see that. But, you know, I think it is interesting to kind of see the mix of films, the mix of guests, and how that effort to kind of bring in a lot of big ticket names seems to be apparent in the lineup and the guest list. What do you think, Samantha?
I would definitely agree with that. This is a huge transition, I think, for TCM and what the festival is going to look like in the future. There are so many people who have attended these fests in the past, you know, 11, 12 years, and they've been so privileged and blessed to have so many of the original stars from these old films be still around to talk about it. And unfortunately, that's just really not the case anymore. And I'm finding, you know, there are still a few around that TCM maybe isn't tapping on the shoulder, especially some of the supporting actors that are still with us. But by and large, you're right, Laura. I think that they're definitely trying to get the big names and they're willing to push the movies a lot more towards modern cinema in order to make that happen, I think. Like, you've got your Pulp Fiction, your Almost Famous. Those are really modern movies. I mean, I don't know. I'm obviously going to be here like the purist who doesn't watch anything made before 1970, but
you it's watched very... Priscilla, technically. So.
I did, because it was about Elvis. but no, it's a really big shift. I think part of it is trying to bring in the younger audience who considers those films classics already. And, you know, we can't have these big guests from these older films. So we're going to try to get some big guests from some newer films. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'll just add, it's always been a sticking point with some folks with TC, not anyone specifically in the group today, but kind of what is classic? How do we define classic? And TCM, they've done a neat little kind of montage that they're running right now for the 30th anniversary. And I think they may show one of the very first intros where Robert Osborne's walking down a staircase and they talk about that. And it's really great to see that early set. But he says something along the lines of, we're going to show the classics and we're going to show even some more recent films, you know. And so that's always been part of kind of the mantra, and what TCM, we're so lucky for them to be around because they can help contextualize that. And then they can bring a star that's more current or a film that's more current. And then lots of times those stars will hang around and introduce an older film that they love, which I think is really cool. Or you'll see people like Mario Cantone, who's a great classic film fan, who's a current working actor that loves classic films and shows his passion for that. And lots of the folks over the years, like Bill Hader or other folks that kind of are fans like we are, that can help bridge that gap in that time frame. You know, it's a challenge, like you said, Samantha, because of so many of the stars passing, stars that were at the fest in the last couple years or were on the cruise, like Louis Gossett Jr., who we just lost, Barbara Rush, who we just lost, and trying to find the stars that can kind of have the body of work that does fall into the term classic, even if it did come out in 94. I think that's always going to be a challenge for the festival. And I like that, you know, they're trying to bridge that gap, like you said.
I think too, you know, you guys are touched on a lot of the things that I've had conversations with others about why things are the way they are. And we were talking about, what does this festival look like in 5 years, when probably even more of the actual firsthand accounts from people, when those people are gone. And there has to be a way to keep that element going. And I have no objection to contemporary commentators. We've had several of them on here, Holly Madison and Paul Feig, people that are working today. And TCM has certainly shown that, getting Damien Chazelle and Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig to talk about classics. There's always that element that can be utilized to accommodate the lack of first-person stars. But then it leaves you to question what the significance of those films are. I know TCM has said that the creative picks the movie in many instances. So I think when they had, not Thelma Schoonmaker, but they had, maybe it was Thelma Schoonmaker, or it was one of the editors, and she picked a movie that she liked, that people said, well, that's too contemporary. Well, it's the film she wants. Lois Burwell, we know, is going to be at the festival, and no doubt picked Almost Famous as the best example of her work. So you really can't complain if it's a creative that's worked on something wanting to pick something that's a bit more contemporary. I know last year, one of the biggest complaints that people had, and I had insider information to this, was that they had gotten rid of the TCM talent outreach and just brought in somebody from WBD. And that caused a lot of us to be like, oh, that explains why you had people show up that in many instances openly admitted during the opening speech that they had not seen the movie until recently. They weren't really necessarily fans. It was just like, I'm here to promote something. And that really turned people off. I'm hoping there's at least more curation to some of these choices. I also am the cynic. It's hard not to look at this list and just kind of be like, there's a real heavy element pushed towards the 80s and beyond, which is fine. Those movies are over 30 years old. It certainly causes us to question what makes a classic. I would definitely tell you Almost Famous is a classic. I would tell you The Little Women, 94, is a classic. But at the same time, it's coupled with all these other things, which it feels like less movies. We have less venues this year. So when you add all of that whack, it's hard not to feel like something's missing. But maybe I'm just a cynic. Maybe you guys will tell me I need to perk up more.
I also just have to throw into, as the probably the poorest person in the group. It is hard to justify the price as the years go on, especially like when I hate to say I feel like I'm getting less in terms of what I want, which is to see the old movies and the old stars. That's definitely something to think about. And the lack of venues, although I'm super, super excited about the return of the Egyptian. All the movies that are showing there are just ones that I'm so excited to see. So that's a ray of sunshine, I think, amongst all of this. And as you guys mentioned too, I also think that there is a lot of untapped potential in terms of guests that they haven't brought. There are a lot of, like I said, older stars who could have been asked and I don't think were. Don Murray is a perfect example. I refuse to believe he was asked because he would have shown up and it would have been very fun. There are some modern people too. John Mulaney is someone who I've always been a huge fan of in terms of modern people who love classic film and are super passionate about classic film. I mean, you see him at the Oscars, you see his stand-up talking about like the police sirens in Rebel Without a Cause and making jokes about it. And that would be the perfect intro to a movie. I would listen to him talk about any old movie. And there are a ton of people who say that they're fans, but don't come to the fest. So they need to come to the fest.
Yeah. I'll piggyback on a couple of things you've said, Samantha. One, certainly price is point of contention. And I've done a few different pass levels. I've been fortunate a handful of times to do the top tier pass. And now that I've done that, it's like, man, I really don't want to go unless I can do that pass because access. We should do an episode sometime and I will happily come back about the TCM cruise. I know you two have not done that yet, but I've done all of them and I love the cruise. And it's such a different experience because on the cruise, you're buying your room and you're not buying your access to venues. And it's such a different, and whereas with the festival, you're buying your level of access, your ease of getting in and out of things, the parties you get to go to. So it's such a different model and could be a wonderful topic to talk about the two events and then do a cruise conversation. So sign me up for that episode down the road. The other thing I'll just say is, you know, you're right. There are a lot of, I mean, I think of all, of course, Bill Hader's been to the cruise. Not the festival, not the cruise. I wish he'd go on the cruise. That'd be amazing. But he's done, you know, of course, has been on the channel and the whole group behind Documentary Now, for those who haven't seen that on IFC, is just brilliant. And to have them come do a documentary would be what a fun panel that would be and talk about the show and what's inspired some of their many fantastic episodes. You know, the festival and the cruise and any of these events are what you make of them. And you kind of have to go through the schedule and go, okay, well, I really, you know, I love films pre-1970. I want to see all the ones on that and tailoring the festival to kind of what your focus is or what your interest is, and then trying to do a mix of it. But I think you're right. The decrease in venue number really does make an impact. And, you know, I'm sure there's lots of factors that go into that that are beyond my knowledge of things, but it does weed down what you're able to get into. And I'm going to be interested to see how that impacts people getting frustrated waiting in lines because there's less things to see at certain time blocks and things are going to be harder to get into. So that's going to be a really interesting takeaway post-fest to know how people respond to that.
I did just want to say we had a late minute addition. I did not think she was going to make it because she has just become an international domestic traveler, but you know, whatever. It's Marion Davies biographer, Laura Gabrielle. Laura, I'm so Hi. Glad that you hopped in.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Always. Well, we were talking about this year's lineup and how we feel a year after all of the craziness of what David Zaslav tried to do to the network. How do you feel about this year's festival? Do you feel that it's showing a renewed investment in TCM from corporate daddy WBD?
I'm glad it's happening. Let's put it that way. I'm just glad it's here because there was a real fear that it was not going to happen because of all of the shakeups at TCM and the chaos that ensued after Charlie and Genevieve and all these people were laid off who were really the heart and soul of the fest. And now they're back because of all the backlash. Honestly, it doesn't exactly feel like the previous fests. I feel like there's not it doesn't feel to be as high a caliber or something as previous fests, but I'm just glad it's happening.
And I think that's where we all are with this, is that we're just happy it exists. And maybe one day that will not be enough to get us to be excited, but not right now. I want to get into this list and looking at some of the stuff that we're excited to see. Laura and I will be there physically. Samantha and Laura Stalker will be there in spirit. So let's start with the opening Thursday. I have plans right now, and all of my plans are tentative. My schedule goes up and down depending on what's going on. My schedule for Thursday is I do want to see the So You Want to Put on a Classic Film Festival panel. It's not the same as the Meet TCM panel, which is really weird. And my hot take is that that's because they don't want people asking questions about, like, why is this person not here anymore? And what is corporate daddy doing for us? And I don't think they want to make it like, so I think they've made it more niche. Talk about the festival, make it that way. So I'm going to go see how that looks. And then
I just want to say one thing. I love the term corporate daddy.
I can't claim that. John Oliver gave it to me, and I just feel we need to utilize it all the time. But, and then I'm a person that, you know, I have a film pass, so media credential, but then I'm also apparently been determined as cool. So I got invited the last 3 years to the opening night. So I will be there at Pulp Fiction. I know it's not a definition TCM classic, but I have never seen Pulp Fiction on a big screen ever. And I love Tarantino, probably shouldn't, but I know Pulp Fiction's problematic. I know all of these things, but I am really excited to see it on a big screen. See John Travolta. They keep saying other people are going to show up. I believe Tarantino will be there. The man lives in LA. He owns a movie theater and he is a ham. He will go wherever you put a camera. So I think he's going to be there. I'm excited to see how it differs from last year, because last year's opening night was a huge showcase for David Zaslav. He was on stage with Spielberg and the directors, like he was on an equal level. And it was very bizarre. And I want to know if that's going to happen again. Is corporate daddy going to sit down on the stage and say that he's cool as all of these other directors? I want to see it. And Janine Basinger is getting the Robert Osborne Award. So, and that's probably going to take me through to pretty much all the end of the evening. I will probably pop into the after party just to see. So I will not get to see any other movies, which sucks because there is a really great lineup. I would have gone to go see Clue with Leslie and Warren. I would have. So I'm bummed. I'm going to miss that. But that is my lineup for Thursday. Samantha, what is your what would your Thursday lineup be?
My Thursday would have been, I have to say, that panel sounds very interesting. So I would definitely be there. I always do the So You Think You Know movies. Also, I'm a big fan of that. Bruce Goldstein is amazing. And his questions are so funny and so tricky, even for like the big classic movie fans. So definitely recommend that to people who haven't done that at the fest. But as for my movies that night, I would definitely go Only Yesterday because I've never seen that. And I love Margaret Sullivan. She's amazing in everything she's in. And I'm missing Shop Around the Corner. So that'll be my Margaret Sullivan of the fest. And then I'm going to bounce over and finally talk about, because I don't think I've ever talked about this on the podcast. I have a very bizarre crush, and that crush is on a man named Michael Caine. So I would definitely be going over to see Gambit because I've never seen it. And seeing him and Shirley MacLaine, like prime 60s in a caper on the big screen and Technicolor, that's like perfect for me. So that's definitely where I would be.
Laura S. I'm going to go Laura S and Laura G just because people are not going to understand that I am differentiating between the O's and the A's in your name.
But I appreciate the effort, for sure.
Laura S., where are you going to be?
So as I said a little earlier, the last few fests, and if I were to go this year, I would try to do the top tier ticket, which is an investment, but I'm a little spoiled doing it. And like I said, it's kind of hard not to do it once you've done it. But I would definitely do the panel. I'll say, through, as you'll find through my whole picks, I love a good panel. And I love all the specialty discussions because those, I mean, as much as I want to see every single movie on the big screen, you might have other opportunities to see some of those films, but you're not going to have another chance to do these panels. And they can be really cool, really lively discussions with folks that you may never get a chance to see again. So I try to always do as many of the panels as I can fit in my schedule, but I would start with that. Of course, do the opening night reception, probably pop into So You Think You Know Movies, but maybe not stay for the whole thing. Try to grab something to eat. And then I would, if I had the top tier ticket, I would do Pulp Fiction and then the after party. But if I didn't do that, I would maybe do a Palin Pressburger night. I think the Palin Pressburger screening, the Made in England, the films of Palin Pressburger sounds really neat. And then I would close out my evening with the Small back Room from 1949 with Ken Jennings doing the intro, which I think he'd do a really good job. I think he's a big film fan. And I love that he's carrying on that mantra, you know, as the Jeopardy host, the same as Trebek was a big film fan. So I would want to check that out. And I always advocate a late night screening. You have to do at least one, if not all of them, if you can drink enough coffee to make it through. But yeah, that's how I wrap up my evening.
Laura, what about you?
My plan on Thursday is to go to So You Think You Know Movies. That'll be my first thing, which I do every year. And despite myself, I mean, it's just so much fun and so hard. My team won 2 years ago. We didn't win last year. But so I know that my team is going to be coming together and we're going to try to defend our title 2 years later. So that'll be good. And then I'll just stay there and be at the opening night reception. Following that, I'm going to go to Send Me No Flowers, I think, at the Multiplex One. And I'm not above leaving movies early to get to other ones that I think I might not have a chance to get into. So I may leave that one early to try to get in line for Grand Hotel. We'll see. But anyway, that's my Thursday night plan.
I love that. Let's go into Friday. That's when things actually begin, right? And for me, you know, I'm doing this year's festival as I did last year with my mom, who, if people ask her if she's excited to go to the festival, she's like, sure. She doesn't like the running around all day, every day. Like, at a certain point, she hits a wall and she's just like, I need to go home. You need to go without me. I can't do this anymore. So we have been kind of going back and forth on the schedule so that she can see stuff that maybe she wants to. Like, we want to do as much stuff together, but also have those moments where it's just like, we can't come to an agreement and we're going to have to split. And the first film that starts off the morning for us on Friday, we are still going back and forth on whether we want to do one or the other, because we both want to do both is the problem. So on the one hand, we're vacillating between the Jodie Foster Hand and Footprint Ceremony, which I can get into as a member of the press. My mom is a big Jodie Foster fan, almost scarily so. She really wants to see her up close. And I'm in a position where I can kind of make that happen. So, you know, kind of want to do it for mom. At the same time, I was like, the LCAP is showing 101 Dalmatians. And now, mind you, 101 Dalmatians, not my favorite Disney movie. I hate the xerography process that they used in the 1960s. But how often do you get to see a 1960s Disney movie on a big screen with Floyd Norman? You know, I love Floyd. I was fortunate to see him when he did the intro to Sleeping Beauty. So I'd love to do that again. So we're kind of like going back and forth being like, we both want to see both. Like, what do we do? So we haven't really settled on an answer for that. But depending, if we end up going to see the Jodie Foster ceremony, that usually ends pretty quickly, depending on how hot it is. So we will have some time. And I'm thinking about going to the TCM Archive Project panel, which sounds very interesting. As Laura was saying, you know, the panels definitely prioritize if you can. I don't really want to go into a movie because the movies, the way they're set up, would be too long for what I want to do later in the afternoon. So I feel very bad turning down Diane Baker in The Model and the Marriage Broker, which is a darling, darling movie. If you have not seen it and you're looking for something to go see, you should go. And then this is where my mom and I are going to split. My mom really wants to go see Silence of the Lambs because Jodie Foster, but she's also thinking she might go see Billy Dee Williams at the Club TCM. Either way, I know that I'm going to go to It Should Happen to You at 3:15 because Peter Lawford and Judy Holliday. Like, I can't turn that down. I have to see my babies. I love them so. So I'm going to be at that. And then after that, it's pretty much just like waiting patiently by the entrance to the pool until they can let me in to go see Gidget poolside. If you've known me long enough, you know Gidget is one of my favorites. I love Cliff Robertson, and I need to watch that at the pool with everybody. Very surprised they did not get the guy who's Moondoggy to show up, because I know he would. They got Bruce Belland of the Four Preps, who we have an interview with from a year or so ago on our website at ticklishbiz.com if you're looking for it. I feel very bad turning down Elvis and Jailhouse Rock, which is also really good, but I'm going to be at Gidget, and then that will be the end of my evening till the next day. Samantha, what about you?
See, the things that we're torn between are similar but different. So I will just start off by saying, this is my advice to you. I can't say I'm a Jodie Foster fan only because I'm just a little too young. I feel bad for saying that. But my advice to you, you should go. You should go. If your mom's a big Jodie Foster fan, that sounds very
That's fun. What I'm thinking. Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity. You know, I kind of lovingly asked TCM about the VIP pass just because I was like, how do I get like a VIP pass? And they would have given it to me, but they said, well, it doesn't get you into the hand and footprint ceremony. And I was like, well, so I turned it, or I already turned that down.
Wow.
Because I wanted to be able to take my mom. So Jodie's probably going to win. The things I do for my mother.
That sounds like it'll be really fun, though. The hand and footprints, I was amazed that they were able to make one happen this year. It was one of those things we're talking about, the fest being here at all and how it's a blessing. The fact that they were able to make that big of a hand and footprint ceremony happen during the fest is really cool. But as far as my picks go, I will say the first time slot, I was very torn between The Caine Mutiny, which I've already seen on the big screen during the Humphrey Bogart Film Festival, but it's being introduced by Kate McMurray, Fred McMurray's daughter. So that's really exciting. I was torn, but ultimately I'm going to have to go with 101 Dalmatians as well. That's my pick for the morning because I also was at Sleeping Beauty and I love Floyd Norman. I feel like he didn't get to talk enough at the Sleeping Beauty panel for my liking. So I would love to see just a one-on-one interview with him talking about 101 Dalmatians. And I'm such a dog lover. I just would love to see that movie on the big screen. That'd be a first for me. And I've never been to the El Capitan. So that's another really, really big thing. That would be a first for me.
The pre-show that they do alone at the El Cap is worth the price.
I know. That would be one of the highlights. That's one of the things I'm the most bummed about missing at this fest. But that, so I would start my day off with 101 for sure. Then it would be a little bit of a tight turnaround, but I would try to see The Model and the Marriage Broker. I feel like that's such a rare out of the way film. And I've been dying, you know this, dying to see Diane Baker. I've seen her once, but I want to meet her so badly.
I need you to move here so that you can come have lunch with me and Diane Baker.
I know. We've got to make this happen. But yeah, I would definitely, anywhere where Diane Baker is going to be, I am going to be.
I just want to put in a request to be at this lunch as well.
Yeah,
I will definitely make this happen. Yes.
The Laura Laras need to be included.
It's going to be the Ticklish Biz event of the year. If we start putting on events, we're just going to have Diane come and talk to us about all the things. So
I adore her. So, and not to mention, Christine Putnam is introducing it, and that's super exciting. I love her. And there, she, you know, she's one of the biggest Thelma Ritter experts, and just talking about such an amazing, underrated actress. It's going to be such a fun conversation. That's a must see for me. So then after that, I would definitely also be going to It Should Happen to You.
Yeah.
That is probably one of my favorite movies of all time, especially in terms of like really underrated ones. Just Judy Holliday's perfection in that movie. So that's a must. And then,
can I just say something about It Should Happen to You real quick?
Yeah.
This movie is so, talk about underrated. It's so relevant to today and the cult of celebrity for nothing. You know,
she's really the first influencer.
The idea of being famous for being famous.
Well, and creating your own brand.
That's Gladys Glover, you know.
You having your own brand is just...
Yeah, it's... Yeah. If you haven't seen it, I think that it'll strike a nerve, you know, with the people Absolutely. Of today.
It's a perfect choice for the fest. I don't know if it's ever been shown at the fest.
I don't think it has.
I don't think it has, but I am so
They showed excited. Born Yesterday a few years ago.
Which is there. Another perfect one.
That was a great screening. I was there at that one.
Like neck and neck for me. I didn't go that year, but if I went, I would have seen Born Yesterday. So It Should Happen to You is a must for me. Then turning around, see, I feel like this would probably be the time where I would probably try to grab dinner. But if I felt like going to see another movie, I would probably see Rear Window, even though I have seen it on the big screen multiple times. So yeah, I'd probably just use that time to eat. But then I would turn around and see Jailhouse Rock because I have never seen it. I am an Elvis fan. I've seen most of his movies, I feel like, at this point, but I have not seen Jailhouse Rock. And I feel like it's a
just
must.
Haven't
and
seen like the second famous one.
I know. It's crazy. I haven't seen it, but I think that I haven't seen too many musicals. I've seen a few musicals at the fest, but like just the idea of everyone like having fun and watching that one, especially like late at night, I feel like it's just for a certain kind of crowd. And that's going to be a hit for sure. So that's how I would end my night, is Jailhouse Rock. Although The Bellboy was very tempting with Jerry Lewis's son introducing.
Awesome. I'm just going to keep going in the circle we've been going in. Laura, what are you thinking of for that day?
Yeah, so I'll just add one thing we didn't talk about earlier about guests and all of that. I mean, I think there's such opportunity to continue having and to tap into more of like relatives of the stars that we've lost. I love those conversations and insights that you can glean from their children, their spouses, their nieces, nephews that are close to them. So I'm glad that the fest is doing that with Kate Murray, with Jerry Lewis's son, with Andy Marks. And I think there's just a lot of opportunity there to continue to build out on that kind of group of people that they can tap into to be special guests. I just wanted to say that real quick. I would start my day with, I'll also say, I agree with Laura that I'm okay scooting out of something if I really want to get to something. And unfortunately, you do have to do that sometimes with the fest because of the ticketing system and how it works and trying to prioritize, you know, your line placement and all. But I would start with at least seeing a little bit of the That's Vitaphone presentation. Because that sounds really neat. And it's a great group of folks that are going to be there doing that. So that starts at 9. So I would try to do a little bit of that. And then I would be with you, Kristen, at the hand and footprint, you and your mom. Because if you've never done a hand and footprint ceremony, if you've got to do it at least once, if you're a repeat fest visitor, they can be difficult to get in. But man, is it just a cool thing. Just such a great, you know, continued thread of tradition and history. And
it's always nice to see the weird people that you don't think they would invite. And you're like, how are they connected?
And, you know, Jodie Foster has such a long career and a huge body of work, and she's still doing great work. I just think it'd be really cool. I'm glad it's her. And I think it would just be a really cool thing to attend this year, especially. So I would go to that. And then after that, I would really love to see them with, if you've never seen Craig Barron and Ben Burtt together, that is a must do at some festival because they are great. They're so entertaining and they're so passionate about their work and the history of film. I'd love to see that, but I think I would have to prioritize the TCM Archive Project. Alexa Foreman is just a wonderful human being. And if you've ever had a chance to talk with her or you haven't, please do. And so is Gary Friedman. And the other folks are people, again, they're bringing back this kind of history of those who have worked at the channel and helped make it everything that we love. So it's great to see that lineup of folks and just to hear some of their fun stories. I mean, I've heard some of Alexa's fun stories about working on the archive project and interviewing the stars in the early, you know, couple years of TCM when so many stars were still with us. I think that would be a really cool panel to go to. After that, I would do the conversation with Billy Dee Williams. He is so fascinating and what a great, you know, career he's had and just the things he's had to navigate in his lifetime as a professional actor, I think would be really great to hear his story. So I would go to that. It Should Happen to You would be tough not to miss. But I'm also very intrigued by Dad's Choice and Past the Paradise, that double screening with Leonard Maltin and Ben Model. That would be a really good one. Or I may take a little bit of a break and then go to see the 100 Years of MGM History with the Newsreel Collection. That sounds really, really neat. For my evening, I would also be poolside with Gidget. Gidget is one of my faves. My mom loves that movie, so I would be watching that with her in spirit. And it, James Darren, by the way, is who played Moondoggy.
Thank you. I knew there was a Darren somewhere in there.
Yeah. But yeah, I love the movie Gidget. In fact, my mom calls one of my nephews Moondoggy. So that's just would be really fun to see. And I think that's going to be a great audience. And that's such a perfect poolside screening. Then I would take a little bit of a break and I would go, I'd push it. I would go see The Road to Ruin at midnight, because that seems like I've never seen that movie. And I think that would be a really interesting one to watch late at night with everybody a little delirious.
I love it. Laura, what about you? Have you joined Ticklish Business Patreon yet? You should, just like Allie Moore, Amy Hart, Danny, David Floyd, Donna Hill, Gates, Jacob Haller, Jonathan Watkins, Krista Painter, McGeff, and Rachel Clark. Listen to episodes 48 hours early, watch exclusive video interviews, receive merch, and even guest on an episode. You also get access to bonus series like Based on a True Podcast, Double Features, and our latest series, But Have You Read The Series? It all starts at just $1 at patreon.com/ticklishbiz. Back to the show.
Well, I am going to try to go to the Jodie Foster handprint thing, I think. I usually don't go to the handprint ceremonies, but I really enjoy Jodie Foster. I think that she has one of the most interesting careers, I think, of any actor working today, and just such a great history. And she deserves this handprint ceremony. I'm sort of fascinated by her. And I would like to see the TCM archive project, because I love those interviews. That's just one of the things that are so precious about TCM, the amount of oral histories that they were able to collect from these stars and filmmakers when they were alive. So I'd like to hear from Alexa and from the other people who were a part of that. I would really like to see Silence of the Lambs, just because I think that Silence of the Lambs is, you know, people talk about it as this horror movie and but it's so scary and blah, blah, blah. But it's a great movie. Like if you just sit down and watch it, you are hooked. From the moment it starts to the last moment, it's just such a great movie. I know it's got all kinds of like things that don't really hold up and all of that, but it's a wild ride of a movie. It's so, so good.
It's so good. And shameless plug, it's one of four movies that the festival is showing that are in the book that I wrote for TCM. And if you're asking why I wasn't included to introduce or talk about any of them, that's a question. But Silence of the Lambs, yeah, is a great example. I always tell people, if you don't like how the movie portrays certain characters, go read the book. Because the book actually, weirdly enough, for the late, 80s, early 90s, makes some really intriguing points about the trans community and kind of situating them as separate from the main killer in the movie, which a lot of people have complained about. Yeah, It's interesting. It's worth it. Laura, you have a heart out. If you want to send me your list, I will be happy to read it through the rest of the episode. But we thank you so much.
Ladies, big hugs, virtual hugs.
I want to see Silence of the Lambs, but I'm going to have to leave early to get to It Should Happen to You. And, I'm happy to do that. I've seen Silence of the Lambs enough that I can wrench myself away. But It Should Happen to You, as I mentioned, I think is just a criminally underrated movie. And I adore Judy Holliday, and I will see anything with her over and over and over and over. So that's that. And then it looks like I've got a gap until I have to decide or leave early from Gidget poolside to go see It Happened One Night, which I've seen on the big screen many times. But one of the things that I think is important to note about the festival is that one of the great things is being with friends And so even if you've seen a movie a million times, even if you've seen it on the big screen, if your friends are going to that movie, you'll want to go to that movie because you can, it's like watching in a big living room with your, with all your friends. So I have a feeling that a bunch of my friends are going to go to It Happened One Night. And so I may go to that.
I love it.
It Happened One Night is tempting, that I have to say, even if you have seen it a million times.
Yes. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So let's get into Saturday. So Saturday for me, my mom and I argued back and forth about Saturday morning because there are two movies, one that her and I both love and one that I've never seen. And this put my whole plan into upheaval. So my original goal was to go and see Annie Get Your Gun on Nitrate at the Egyptian. That was what I was planning. And then they announced the Long Long trailer was going to be playing at the festival. My mom and I are big Lucy Desi fans. We were going to go see that. And I was going to forego going to see Annie Get Your Gun. But then I made the mistake of telling my mom that they were showing Dirty Harry at the IMAX. And my mom really, really, really wants to go see that. I've never seen Dirty Harry. And so my mom was like, this is a great learning experience. You can see the movie for the first time on the IMAX. If you've seen Booksmart, you know, in the movie that they call a Malala, which is a thing where like the other person has to go, no questions asked. It's like it's the one favor that you get. This is bizarre Malala moment. So I'm going to start my day by seeing Dirty Harry for the first time at the IMAX, which I'm actually excited for because I've never seen it. I don't know what to expect. It's Clint Eastwood. We're going to do this. So from there, I'm going to try to get into a little romance because I love Diane Lane. I've been meaning to see this movie for years, and I figure now is as good a time as any to go do that. And then after that, we're going to try to see either Leaving the other movie early or something. But I really, really want to make it over to the Egyptian to see The Madness Manton because of Barbara. If you've never seen it, it is a delightful, delightful film about Barbara Stanwyck playing a Daffy Society dame.
It's entirely ridiculous.
It's entirely ridiculous. She's a Daffy Society dame with a girl gang of equally Daffy Society dames solving a murder. And it's fantastic.
It's delightful.
Yeah, I don't really think people understand just how magical it is. So there's that. And then I have a pretty, pretty big gap from there. My mom is going to go see Footloose at the pool, which I love Footloose. But for me, I called my Malala, which is Little Women, at 9:30. Only that movie could get me to just be like, I don't care what we're doing. I planned my whole schedule around it. I am going to see Little Women with the cast, including Eric Stoltz.
It's going to be you. It's going to be you and me and all of the other like geriatric millennials.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, all of us who grew up with Little Women, the Winona Ryder, Claire Danes, Little Women. That was like, it's like a cult thing for girls of our generation.
And it's so great because I think 2 years ago they showed the 49 Little Women, which I also went and saw, which is also, both are in my book, by the way. So I feel like I have to show up. And I did tell TCM, I was like, if you want to make me happy, can you please just at least shout the book out while you do the intro? Like, so that I feel like I'm at least near the cast of Little Women in some way.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then we're going to try really hard to get to the midnight show of Heavenly Bodies with Millie DeCherico. We love her so much. And the movie sounds bananas, but it's also in the smallest theater in the festival. So I have no idea how that's going to work out, but that's the goal.
Can I just say how happy I am that Millie is back and introing movies?
Yeah, it's great. It's so great.
We love Millie.
We love Millie. We need to get Millie on the show. Samantha, what about you? Saturday.
All right, so my Saturday is a little bit surprising, and it's mainly because there's one movie that just takes up the whole darn day, but I have to see it, and that is El Cid. I want to see it. I have not seen it before, but the main reason why I want to see it is because I absolutely worship Sophia Loren, and the film is being introduced by her son, Eduardo Ponte, who's also the person who interviewed her for the TCM Classic Film Festival, like the full length interview that you see airing on TCM. So just his insight to his mom. I've seen also they had him during, I believe, the 2020 fest, the At Home fest, and they had a whole Mother's Day panel, and I attended that, and he talked about her so lovingly, and he's just such an articulate guy. I have to see him introduce El Cid and talk about his mom, and that is at the IMAX. So El Cid, for sure, that's going to take up so much of my day. I really wanted to see Annie Get Your Gun too, so that's kind of what annoys me, that it takes up two of the slots, but it's a must, so I'll see it. I'll see El Cid, and then honestly, that third slot, nothing really appeals to me. I'd probably just go back to the IMAX and see North by Northwest, just because it's my favorite Hitchcock other than Rebecca. I love Hitchcock. I've seen it on the big screen probably more than once, but I love it. I love it so much. I love it more than any of the other films in the slot. So I'd probably see that. Then I would hit the Egyptian for Westward the Women. I have not seen that yet, but I've been dying to. That's one of those movies I've heard so many good things about. So that's a must for me. And then after that, I was a little bit torn on the very last slot of the day between Summer Stock and Dog Day Afternoon. I've never seen Summer Stock on the big screen. I feel like that would be another just really fun musical to watch with a crowd. And I'm obsessed with Gene and Judy. But I think I'm gonna have to go Dog Day Afternoon. You know how much I love that movie, Kristen. So
I've seen it on a big screen. I saw it at the Academy Museum with Al Pacino.
Wow.
Which was,
I'm jealous,
amazing. But I think what I was more struck by watching it is how that movie plays with a crowd. It plays so well with the crowd. People are cheering, people are laughing, like it plays so well, and it's so
especially
intense
late at night. I think that would just be such a fun screening. I don't think I could miss it. Summer Stock, I would just, it's probably one of the ones of the fest I'd be so annoyed to miss, but I have to see Dog Day Afternoon on a big screen. I've never seen it on a big screen, and it's such a good movie.
Laura, what about you?
Well, my schedule on Saturday starts with Annie Get Your Gun on Nitrate, because it's Nitrate. I wouldn't seek out Annie Get Your Gun otherwise. I think it's fine. It's not a favorite of mine, really. But Nitrate, seeing it on Nitrate, I think will be really spectacular. I saw when they did Black Narcissus on Nitrate at the Egyptian a number of years ago, and wow, it sparkled and shone and just a magnificent thing. And of course, Color Nitrate is different than Black and White Nitrate. I also saw Laura on Black and White Nitrate. And so I just want to see Nitrate wherever I can get it. So I'll start my day with that. And then I'll do the Mad Miss Manton, because how could you not?
Laura, I might make you save me a seat, because I'm going to be we're going to just be straight running down the streets of Hollywood to get there.
I will save you a seat.
I
don't want to say it's a guilty pleasure, because it is a really fun movie, but it's one of those movies that is not really on people's radar. And every time it's on, I'm like, The Mad Miss Manton.
Yeah. It's such an underrated screwball comedy. It really is. Yeah. And I don't think Henry Fonda gets enough credit for just being the perfect
Fonda, you guys.
He's the perfect straight man in this movie. There is a scene where they're talking about putting a dead body in his office, and he just screams, "What are you trying to do? Haunt my couch?" And it's hilarious the way he says it. I need to hear that line with an audience so that we can all just be like, that Hank Fonda. What a cut up. Why did he do more comedies?
I just have to say, anything pre-1945 Henry Fonda, I call Baby Fonda. And Baby Fonda, you just cannot get your eyes off of him. Like the Lady Eve and that movie, he is so gorgeous.
Yes, he is. So that's going to be a great time. The Mad Miss Manton at the Egyptian. Then I'm going to try to go to the MGM at 100 magical tour of the backlot thing. I don't know what is going to happen there, but I feel like I should. And then, of course, I've got Little Women, which I'm so excited about. I can't get enough of that movie. I was to tell you the extent of my devotion for the 1994 Little Women. When I was in fourth grade, shortly after the 1994 Little Women came out, I was Beth for Halloween. Like, that was...
That's commitment.
I was a strange child, but Beth. I mean, not even Joe. Like,
can you describe what the costume that made it particularly Beth like?
It was sort of a long black velvet dress with the hairstyle that she had in the movie. You know, sort of the braids, and I don't know. I mean, we just kind of did what we could. But that's what I wanted to be. And that's who I was for Halloween in fourth grade.
I was going
to
say, did you have the waxy scarlet fever pallor that's how I would feel particularly Beth-like. It's just like emphasizing yes. Beth's sickliness. And I say that as an Amy girl, even though I'm probably like a Joe March with an Amy Moon at this point. So
Yeah. I'm kind of mixed between Joe and Beth sometimes because I'm introverted, but I'm also very like booky, so.
Great. I mean, we're all going to be talking about Little Women afterwards, just finding our Little Women signs.
Yes. I am very excited for you both. As Kristen knows, have still not seen any version of Little Women.
Really? Samantha, I thought we talked about this. You needed to fix this.
So if you see any version, it's the 1994 one.
Okay.
That's the one.
Well, Samantha's thought process was is that if she sees one, she probably would need to see them all.
I need to see them all. So yeah. I was thinking about going in chronological order.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. My order is 94 first. And then I really did like the newer, the Greta Gerwig one.
The 19.
I honestly would love to see that too. Like they all look really solid. I couldn't tell you why I haven't seen them. It's just one of those things where like, God, this is going to be so much worse. I also haven't seen The Godfather. So like, it's one of those things. Once you tell people you haven't seen it, it's just, you just have to wait for the right opportunity.
I have failed as a podcast film host.
It becomes a special thing.
Yeah, if we're talking Little Women rankings, it's the 94, the 19, the 49. Actually, maybe it would probably be the 94, 49, which is a controversial statement because apparently nobody likes the 49 but me. And then 19, and then 33. The 94 has the best worst Laurie in the sense that Christian Bale is like a snack, but his Laurie is one of the most problematic characters in all of... Laurie's already problematic, but like his version is particularly like, I will marry anybody. I will pick anybody who wants to marry me in this family. I will take so long as I can be part of it. And I'm just like, boo.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
My Little Women ranking is 94 first and then sort of a photo finish between the 19 and the 33. And then the 49 last. I'm not a huge fan of the 49 one. I just think it's kind of sedate. Yeah.
I just love Elizabeth.
Kind of stale.
So.
But.
We could talk about Little Women all day, gang. This is where it's at. So, Laura, was that it for your Saturday? I didn't even.
Is that it? I think that's it. Yeah. Yes. Because Little Women ends at 11:45. God help us all.
So that takes us to Sunday, last day of the festival. Much of this, as I'm sure everybody will say, so I'll just say it up top, is all going to depend on the TBAs, what they're going to include. So I tend to be a little bit more fluid on Sunday than I usually am. And nothing really is attracting me in the morning block. I might end up going to see Double Indemnity at the IMAX just because it's in my book. And who doesn't love Double Indemnity in the morning? I'm really surprised they don't even have the author of the Double Indemnity book TCM just published introducing this.
What is going on here?
Yeah, that's actually really shocking that you mentioned that now.
No book signings
there
either.
Two, aren't there? There are two authors.
Yeah, yeah. Alonzo did the Pride book. Yeah. Yeah, there's no book signings this year either. I've had people ask me, no book signings.
Oh yeah, Jeff at Larry Edmonds, who everybody should support. If you're listening to this, just buy all your books at Larry Edmonds, please. Jeff told me that he doesn't have any slots. Like there's no, he usually has the guests come to his store and sign books, but TCM hasn't arranged for anybody to do that.
Yeah, I got told when I brought it up to just go through Larry Edmonds. Larry Edmonds didn't really have any answers for me. So it's really weird promoting TCM's products. I don't know why you would not want to do that. So I'll probably end up at Double Indemnity. Really, I'm just waiting to go see Sabrina at the IMAX. I've never seen Sabrina on a big screen. So I'm really excited to see Audrey and a very blonde Bill Holden in that movie. I've seen it a million times, so I'm prepared to leave it if I need to, because really, I am all in on Almost Famous. Almost Famous is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's the movie that made me want to be an entertainment journalist. So Cameron Crowe owe a debt of gratitude to him. I bought a shirt for the occasion, so I will have a themed shirt that day, and I'm just ready to rock out and go back to the 70s with that movie. And then after that, I think I might actually just eat, because depending on what the other TBAs are, I'm not really interested in anything else. I mean, I already saw Chinatown recently, and American in Paris is not a favorite for me. Maybe, you know, Sherlock Jr. if I wanted to trek over to the Egyptian, but so I'll probably just make it out to closing night, which feels like it's starting a lot later in the festival. I don't know, maybe that's just me getting old, but that's going to be it. That'll put it in the books for me. So yeah, my last movie would be Almost Famous, and I'm okay with that being the last film at the festival for me. Samantha, what about you? Last day.
I just have to say, now that you say it, I think the closing party is starting later than usual, now that I'm looking, because yeah. I remember it starting at least like halfway eight. Through the final slot.
Yeah, it was usually like an 8:30 type of thing. So, and it's only from, I think, 9 to midnight. So
I think they probably know that a lot of the people are still going to be at the last screenings. Maybe that's something that they've kind of picked up on over the years. That's my only guess.
Very interested to see where the closing night is going to take place, because if you went to last year's festival, they only did it in the lobby and the Blossom Room. They did not have it out by the pool. And I know of at least 15, 16 people that got COVID after that party last year. My notifications went off for like 2-3 solid weeks. You were near somebody that had COVID. So
Did you get it, Chris? Did you get it?
I did not, no.
Lucky you're the only person I know who didn't get it.
I didn't either.
Exactly. I took my mask off every now and then to maybe like talk to somebody, but I kept it on for, and I can tell you that last year's festival was uncomfortable just from the amount of people they clogged Absolutely. Into one very right. small space. So yeah, it was kind of a super spreader event. Thankfully I didn't get it, but I'm hoping that they at least make the pool an option so that there's at least space for people.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
I've been to 2 closing night parties, and I can't say I remember the pool being an option for the first one, but it definitely wasn't last year, and we felt it. It was super cramped. Super cramped. And the bar's lines were incredibly long as well.
Exactly. Samantha, Sunday, what's your schedule?
All right. So I'm starting my day with, again, this is one of the ones I wish I was at the fest to see this, because I am the biggest Elizabeth Taylor fan, but I have not seen National Velvet yet at all.
Me neither. So I know.
Seeing it on the
really?
Big screen
neither
is
you?
Just, I know.
I know. I know.
I have it on DVD, which is the craziest part. I have National Velvet on DVD, and I still haven't seen it. I almost saw it for Elizabeth Taylor's birthday, but I forgot that I had it.
So I get mad at TCM whenever they don't show National Velvet on Thanksgiving. For some reason, it is like a Thanksgiving movie. I can't explain to you why, because it takes place in the UK, but it's it's like so cozy and wholesome and just beautiful. And Elizabeth Taylor and her relationship with that horse, I mean, you can see it. She's like petting his face, and you know, and you can't fake that.
That is so cute. So, yeah, I would be just, I'm so jealous at anyone who gets to see that on a big screen, because she's just so beautiful. And the Technicolor, I imagine, is going to be so cool. Actually, I am one of the few old Hollywood fans that does not really understand why everyone hates Mickey Rooney so darn much. Like, that's a lot. He was fine. I would be excited to see him in it. He was a good entertainer.
Mickey Rooney was a phenomenal entertainer. Phenomenal entertainer, wonderful actor. I think his dramatic acting is underrated. He was really, he could do anything and everything.
Yeah, so I would love to see that one too.
Yeah.
Sand is a good dramatic Mickey Rooney movie.
But later on, he just got so grumpy and...
That's true. That's true. And
crazy. Yeah, I had a Mickey Rooney. Did I ever tell you my Mickey Rooney story when I met Mickey Rooney?
I think I've heard it.
I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear this.
So I was at the Judy Garland Festival and met Mickey Rooney at the Judy Garland Festival. And I had my little Strike Up the Band picture and I wanted to have him sign it. So I was in line and I heard him yelling at the person in front of me to, you know, I don't know what he was yelling about, but he was yelling at her about something. And I was like, oh my, I was like 12. So I was like, I'm going to be really nice to him so he doesn't yell at me. I gave him my little picture and he signed it. And I'm like, thank you so much, Mr. Rooney. And he's like, ah, you're welcome. And then later on, we were at dinner. He had finished his dinner. We wanted to have a picture with him. So we went up, my friend and I, we went up to him. And, you know, we said, you know, can we take a picture with you? I don't want to take a picture. So he was just very, you know.
He was a very crotchety old man in his
own. He was a very crotchety old man. And then there's a story about him pushing somebody off the chair.
I've heard the story of him pushing people off chairs. I've also heard the story. Somebody told me that somebody brought him a photo of him and Judy on like a magazine cover, and it was like really rare, and he signed his name all across Judy Garland's face. And I was just like, okay, Mickey Rooney. So that's the big Mickey Rooney divergence right there.
Yes,
great exactly. Actor, questionable person.
Yes, yes. Exactly. And we went off on a little tangent, Mickey Rooney tangent there, but you know, such is life.
What is an old Hollywood podcast episode without a Mickey Rooney tangent? After that, I will say Sabrina is tempting, but I would definitely go see The Sin of Nora Moran. I haven't seen that yet, and I know it was scheduled, I think, for the 2020 Fest and never shown.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where, like, just the out-of-the-way pre-codes are always the most fun things that you can go to with the fest. And they're always so packed. So I think that would be really worthwhile. Then from there, I would go see Chinatown for the first time. Never seen Chinatown either. So that would be really exciting.
We're in for a treat.
I know, especially at the IMAX. I think that would be a lot of fun.
And it being in the heart of LA. And it's all filmed on LA locations. Like, it's amazing.
Oh, that's even better. I didn't even know that. So that's great.
Yeah.
So Chinatown for sure for the 50th anniversary. I really thought that would be the opening night film, by the way. I expected
that would have made some sense.
But I don't know why not. Anyway, and this is a shocking final choice. I will say this is the one I'm probably still the most torn about. I would have to go with Spaceballs because my husband apparently is a big fan, and my husband is never a fan of a movie. So I just have to know what that's about. And just seeing Mel Brooks, like, just, it's one of those things. When are we going to see Mel Brooks again? We don't know. I need to say that I can, or that I did. So that would be a must for me, just seeing it for the first time and having him introduce it. But I would be so heartbroken to miss An American in Paris. I think that would be such a fun final film for the fest, especially for MGM's 100th. I've never seen it on the big screen either. So that's like that one, I think, on the big screen more than most movies would be just incredible.
Someone who does not love Spaceballs, I know, shocking. Just go see it for just see the Mel Brooks intro and then leave. That would be my advice. Just blitz out after that, you know. And I say that as somebody that once shared a bathroom with Mel Brooks. So, you know, yeah, I've told that story, haven't I? About the time I shared a bathroom with Mel Brooks.
Not to me.
Oh, okay. So I was at the Egyptian and I was watching Blazing Saddles that they did at one of the festivals, I think maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. And I had to use the bathroom and there was only one accessible bathroom that they had. And there was a line of, you know, elderly people that were waiting for it as well. And I was waiting there and I'm like, whoever is in this bathroom, this is ridiculous. We are all waiting here. This person probably doesn't even need this bathroom. This is so stupid. And he comes out and it's Mel Brooks. And I'm just like, okay, I can't be too mad. And I went into the bathroom after him. It was one of those single bathrooms. So technically, I shared the same bathroom as Mel Brooks. My mom was like, well, did you get a picture? Did you, you know, talk to him? I'm like, he was coming out of the bathroom. Yeah. So no, I did not take a picture and I did not shake his hand. I did none of that. I went right into the bathroom because by that point, I also really had to go to the bathroom. So Mel Brooks, you and I shared a bathroom with the Egyptian one time. Laura, what about you? Yeah. Final lineup.
Well, I have Double Indemnity on the big screen in the morning because, again, if I could just have an entire festival with Barbara Stanwyck movies, that would make me happy. So I'm going to do that on the big screen because Double Indemnity on the big screen is going to be incredible. Then after that, I've got The Sin of Nora Moran. I may have to leave early from Double Indemnity to see that because it's going to be really popular and it's in Multiplex 4, of course. So we'll see how that works out. But I'd like to see that. And then I've got a big gap in the middle of the day, but I want to see what the TBAs are. And then I've got Sherlock Jr.
Closing it out with some Keaton.
Yeah. I mean, Sherlock Jr. is just a monumental achievement. If you haven't seen it, have you seen it? Have you seen Sherlock Jr.?
We did an episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
We did an episode and I don't think I was on that episode, so I've not seen it.
Drea is a big fan and she chose it for us to talk about. And it is, I agree. It's a marvel of film.
Yeah, it is.
It's filmmaking 101 in a way for me in a film. And I will say, I just, that's another one I'm bummed to miss too, because I actually, like, in the 3 years that I've been to the fest, I always make it a point to make my final film the silent film, whatever, because they usually do show one silent film in the last slot.
Yeah.
Not this year, only because I've seen it so recently for our episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so good though. I would recommend
so
it.
So good. You know what? This is a little bit of a tangent, but it reminds me because I programmed a silent film festival at the Sierra Madre Playhouse a couple of months ago, and I programmed Sherlock Jr. and Girl Shy. So Harold Lloyd's Girl Shy and Buster Keaton's Sherlock Jr. And Girl Shy. Oh my gosh! Have you seen it? Have you seen
Girl? I have. I'm a big Harold Lloyd fan. I love him.
That movie is, talk about underrated. I mean, that movie is so good.
I find all of his movies the best underrated.
Sometimes. I mean, everybody, you know, all the silent film people would go nuts. So
I love it.
That's one of the events they should bring back is all those Harold Lloyd, like the Harold Lloyd screening that they did at the Cinerama Dome.
Yeah.
His granddaughter. Oh my gosh, that's something they should bring back.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. This just reminds me the Cinerama Dome needs to reopen because we miss it.
Yeah,
I miss it.
Listeners, let us know what you're interested in this year's TCM Film Fest. We will be including as much video as we can on our social channels, which you should all follow at Ticklish Biz on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, as well as Ticklish_Biz on Twitter. We're also going to be occasionally reviewing some of the films over at our official website, which is ticklishbiz.com. And we will have our annual TCM audio episode coming up in the next couple of weeks that will include all of the audio intros that I can get on my phone. But I want to thank Samantha and Laura and Laura, who had to leave, for joining us on the podcast as always. Samantha, where are you online? Anything listeners should know about?
Well, you can mostly follow me on Twitter at Classic Film Geek, but my blog is musingsofaclassicfilmaddict.com. And you can find my Cooking with the Stars posts every month over at classicmoviehub.com. I'm working on my cookbook. It will take forever. There are 125 women in it, and I want to accurately write about all of them. So it's going to take years.
I love it.
But it's coming eventually, one day.
Exactly. And Laura Gabrielle, anything upcoming that listeners should know about? Where can they find you online?
I'm at Backlots Film everywhere except TikTok, which I can't figure out. So I'm Instagram, the site formerly known as Twitter, and Facebook. you know, you can find me at Lara Gabrielle, just my personal account, or my book, Captain of Her Soul, The Life of Marion Davies, has a Facebook page and a Facebook group. So if you want to go there, I post stuff every day.
That's going to close out Ticklish Business for today. You can always listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. Remember, our archive of episodes going all the way back to episode one is always free at ticklishbusiness.podbean.com. Reviews matter, so consider leaving us one on Apple Podcasts of 5 stars. Once again, we are on all social media platforms, including Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can follow me on social media at KristenLopez88, as well as my official website, KristenKLopez.com. Emily Edwards is on social at Ms. Emily Edwards. Our Patreon helps keep the lights on at Ticklish Biz HQ and gives us chances to do new content like bonus episodes like these, as well as some of the great videos we've had created by Jenny Hawkins. So consider helping us out starting at just $1 at patreon.com/ticklishbiz. And Emily and I both have books out. Consider ordering them wherever you buy books. We will return with our regular episode on April 24th, which is our TCM Classic Film Festival audio episode. Till then.